Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Please enter your host PIN. When finished, press the pound key.
To start your show,
the host already done this show. Only one host is allowed per show. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
We'll be right back.
many things that's held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. If you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing
stand in your way.
I want you to listen, listen
to every word I say, every word I say.
Ain't no stopping us now.
Ground that we shall overcome the problem that we have and the problem we've been having, that we have to stand together. And some of you might say, well, Bishop, what you...
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. we shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes
To Israel, there were obstructing mountains surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon, economic mountains, social and political mountains, religious mountains, encircled and enclosed her in. And she was down here in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. So that he said that he was in the spirit. And that gives validity to it, you know. People speak a little bit about the spirit now. But I'm afraid that the church is losing a great deal of its spiritual consciousness. It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the spirit told me to do certain things. Or I was led by the spirit to do certain things. So that this prophet was a spiritual mind. A spirit-filled, God-conscious prophet. And he said, why being in the spirit? The Lord led him out to the valley. And then led him to the midst of the valley. And sat him down in the midst of it. But he was really saying that God led him to the high. And to Israel, there were obstructing mountains surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon. Economic mountains. Social and political mountains. Religious mountains. Encircled and enclosed her in. And she was down here in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. So that he said that he was in the spirit. And that gives validity to it, you know. People speak a little bit about the spirit now. But I'm afraid that the church is losing a great deal of its spiritual consciousness. It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the spirit told me to do certain things. Or I was led by the spirit to do certain things. So that this prophet was a spiritual mind. A spirit-filled, God-conscious prophet. And he said, why being in the spirit? The Lord led him out to the valley. And then led him to the midst of the valley. And sat him down in the midst of it. What he was really saying, that God led him to the heart of Israel's problem. And Israel's situation in Babylon. That's what he was saying. God took him in a thoroughgoing survey, in a thoroughgoing analysis and understanding of Israel's Babylonian situation. And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem, set him down there, than to fear that way out on the periphery of things, he missed something. Then the Lord led him round and about the valley, or took him and encompassed the valley, circled it on all sides, that he might not miss the remotest problem of Israel's situation. And when the survey was thorough and complete, the Lord poured the question to him. And to Israel, there was a...
Although the Lord said all things would work together for good, it never promised that all things would be good. But we do have a promise. A promise that simply says...
Obstacles in your life. I want you to lean on God and trust His flawless record. He never fails. He can do the impossible. How do I know? I've seen Him do it.
I have no doubt my God can do the impossible.
There's nothing impossible for God.
I know He can.
I've seen Him do it.
I've seen Him do it.
He can turn the mess you're in to an awesome miracle. Yes, He can.
I know He can.
I've seen Him do it. So whatever problem you've got, just let it go and give it to God.
He'll work it out.
do I know what God can do?
I've seen him do it.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
I've lived long enough to see God do phenomenal things. Oh, yes, I have. I've seen God give people supernatural strength when they didn't know how they were going to make it. I've seen him use the most unlikely people to do incredible things. So I wrote this verse for those of you that are less than perfect. Listen.
When your life has gone astray, you preserve and cover you with his grace. That's how God works.
That's how God works.
I've seen him do it.
And this is what I like about God.
Then he'll erase your past.
If you repent,
so people can
he'll erase your past.
To the Caravan.
Yes,
I am. Oh, yeah. And every day I'm traveling through.
Traveling through
this old barren
land.
But there's one thing I know.
Lord, I know.
I got another building. I got another building.
Oh,
thank you for my building.
Building I made
by hand. And every day of my life, I'm begging you, Jesus,
Lord,
keep my body, keep my body strong. And Master, keep my hand.
Oh,
I don't wanna do nobody no wrong. And when you've done this for me, I need a little more grace. I need a little more grace. I need a little more grace. Thank you for my
building.
I got another building. I got another building. I got another building. Oh, yes, I am. I got another building.
I see trees of green. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark sacred nights, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the skies, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, say, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies crying. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Oh, yeah.
He's got the whole world in his head. Yeah.
This morning I would like to use as a subject from which to preach the drum major instinct. The drum major instinct. And our text for the morning is taken from a very familiar passage in the 10th chapter as recorded by St. Mark, beginning with the 35th verse of that chapter, we read these words, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared." And then Jesus goes on toward the end of that passage to say, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." The setting is clear. James and John are making a specific request of the Master. They had dreamed, as most of the Hebrews dreamed, of a coming king of Israel who would set Jerusalem free and establish his kingdom on Mount Zion and in righteousness rule the world. And they thought of Jesus as this kind of king, and they were thinking of that day when Jesus would reign supreme as this new king of Israel. And they were saying, now, when you establish your kingdom, let one of us sit on the right hand and the other on the left hand of your throne. Now, very quickly, we would automatically condemn James and John, and we would say they were selfish. Why would they make such a selfish request? But before we condemn them too quickly, let us look calmly and honestly at ourselves, and we will discover that we too have those same basic desires for recognition, for importance, that same desire for attention, that same desire to be first. Of course, the other disciples got mad with James and John, and you can understand why, but we must understand that we have some of the same James and John qualities. And that is deep down within all of us, an instinct. It's a kind of drum major instinct, a desire to be out front, a desire to lead the parade, a desire to be first. And it is something that runs the whole gamut of life. And so before we condemn them, let us see that we all have the drum major instinct. We all want to be important, to surpass others, to achieve distinction, to lead the parade. Alfred Adler, the great psychoanalyst, contends that this is the dominant impulse. Sigmund Freud used to contend that sex was the dominant impulse, and Adler came with a new argument saying that this quest for recognition, this desire for attention, this desire for distinction is the basic impulse, the basic drive of human life, this drum major instinct. And you know, we began early to ask life to put us first. Our first cry as a baby was a bid for attention. And all through childhood, the drum major impulse or instinct is a major obsession. Children ask life to grant them first place. They are a little bundle of ego. They have innately the drum major impulse or the drum major instinct. Now, in adult life, we still have it, and we really never get by it. We like to do something good, and you know, we like to be praised for it. Now, if you don't believe that, you just go on living life and you will discover very soon that you like to be praised. Everybody likes it, as a matter of fact. And somehow this warm glow we feel when we are praised or when our name is in print is something of the vitamin A to our ego. Nobody is unhappy when they are praised, even if they know they don't deserve it, and even if they don't believe it. The only unhappy people about praise is when that praise is going too much towards somebody else. But everybody likes to be praised because of this real drum major instinct. Now, the presence of the drum major instinct is why so many people are joiners. You know, there are some people who just join everything. And it's really a quest.